We have a new Tuesday show on the podcast with a special host who needs very little introduction. The man behind the Shin Fu sales process, Steve Shinholzer. Steve will occasionally stop by to drop some knowledge bombs. So prepare for impact.
Hello, everybody. This is Steve with The Battleground. I'd like to welcome you to a short, opinionated podcast about should you even be in business? And in fact, I like this to add a little Shakespearean to it, to be or not to be in business for yourself. So this is a question I ask just about every contractor that I try to help, and it pisses off just about every single one of them. Because when you come at someone, I mean, let's face it, if we are running our own business, we have quite the ego. I mean, you have to have a pretty big ego to fight the world and run your own shop. And most of us are running our own shop sort of by ourselves. In other words, we're sort of solo in this whole journey, and it gets to be quite taxing after a while. But I'd like you to take a look at your overall life, your overall lifestyle, your overall happiness level. And before I go into all that stuff, let me just ask you a couple of questions. Number one, as a child, did you have a tendency to be an entrepreneur? For instance, when I was 10, me and my little brothers, who were 9 and 7, we used to take our junk drawers as kids, dump them all in a wagon, and go walking around the neighborhood and literally knock on doors, talk to people about, would you like to buy anything in my wagon? And these people were all pretty nice. I mean, I would say most of them didn't buy anything, but a lot of times they would like, oh yeah, I'll take that empty tube of toothpaste and I'll pay you 10 cents for it. Now, this is in the early 70s, late 60s. You know, I guess when I was 10, it was 1967. So that was pretty big money. That was like 25 cents today. But the bottom line is, after literally canvassing the neighborhood for 2-3 hours, and I can only imagine what the hell the neighbors thought about these three poor kids running around the neighborhood selling their crap. But we would basically get a dollar or two, and we could go up to the store and, you know, have a good time for that. Then when I was about 12, I started my own lawn cutting business. And I got to tell you, when I was 14, which is the last year I cut lawns because I started to be a lifeguard after that, which led to me starting a lifeguard management company. But in 6 weeks with my lawnmowers company, I actually saved $90. Now, this is back when you used to take your cash to the teller. She would stamp your passbook, you know, and that would be how they recorded everything. There was no electronics back then. And when that woman, you know, stamped my passport and wrote total $90, and I had collected that in a matter of 6 weeks, I thought, oh my God, I am going to be a millionaire. I mean, literally, I knew at that point how to make money. So these are entrepreneurial spirits that just crept into me and came to me naturally as a child. I grew up very poor family. There were 8 kids, mom and dad, so that's 10 of us. And my old man made the equivalent of today's money, like $38,000 in today's money, feeding 10 mouths. So you know how poor we were. And so we had no other choice but shit, just go out in the world and see if you can't generate some cash. That's the spirit I'm talking about. Did you have that as a child? I mean, is it in your blood? Now, you don't have to have it in your blood to be a really good entrepreneur. You can learn all this stuff. Unfortunately, in order for you to learn, you got to set your own ego and your own ideas aside and learn from others that have been where you are now and who are currently where you want to end up in life. That's the best and easiest way, is simply just copy whatever they're doing or some close proximity to that. So let me look at this from a whole nother standpoint. And I'm talking about how happy are you in life? The average Home Depot manager across the country makes $82,000. And on top of that, they can expect anywhere from a 25 to 50% bonus at the end of the year, meaning someone making the average 82,000 and you put 50% on top of that, now they're about 124,000 bucks a year. Now that's just average. Now I'm living in Washington, D.C. area. So I'm sure they're making closer to $175,000 a year, you know, and they work 60 hours a week. I'm sure they work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, and they bust their ass if people are tugging them all day long. And, you know, I'm sure it's a hard job, but they get that one day off and they don't even have to worry. Somebody else is running the store. How many hours a week do you work? You know, do you ever get a day off? Does your brain ever shut off? I know the answers to all these things because I've been an entrepreneur since I got out of college in 1980. I've started four businesses. I built four businesses. I sold four businesses. Three out of four of them made me millions individually. Okay. We'll talk in a later podcast about the fourth losing business that I had. Nonetheless, In-N-Out Burger. This is a college town burger joint. You know what they pay the average In-N-Out Burger guy? You know, with the bonus, it's over $100,000 a year. He's flipping burgers. Is it hard work? Yes. Long hours? Yes. Again, probably 60 hours a week, 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. But in that seventh day, they get to go home and relax. So are you making the same amount of money as these burger flippers or just a manager at Home Depot? And I don't want to say just because you have to manage a lot of people. And that gets to be a pain in the ass. In fact, I think there's something like 22 million small businesses in this country, and like 20 million of them are solo entrepreneurs, meaning they're by themselves. They may have one helper. And the reason this is the case is because most of us do not play well in the sandbox. I mean, we don't get along with other people. At least we don't know how to communicate, how to treat, how to just be around other people so they want to be around us back. This is the problem. I mean, you know, if you're going to run your own business, to be quite honest, you have to be a human being first. And then you be whatever craft you're doing second. I mean, it has to work like that. Otherwise, because you have to work with other human beings and you have to get them to want to stick around and not just stick around with you begrudgingly, but stick around with you and want to stick around with you, want to see your vision, want the company and you to make money.
Who might have heard about our Mile High Profit Summit event coming up in September? You might also have heard that we've added a powerhouse package to the event called our Elite Package, where you get to spend the whole day with myself, Ben Newman and Renee Rodriguez as we dig into your business and help you become more of an elite business owner who really wants to create a legacy. And this is for somebody who just might want to 10 to 20X their business in the next decade. All right. It's for somebody who wants to only work with high profit clients and learning how to communicate in ways that attract not only those high profit best clients, but also the best talent in your trade so you can fulfill all the work that you're selling. So I want you to imagine your business being on autopilot. Imagine owning a business that served you, one that is proactive and void of all the chaos in the typical business. What would that mean for your personal income? What would it mean for your quality of life? Head to milehighprofitsummit.com. Click on the Elite Package and take control of your future. Not only do you get to hang with us for a day, you also get the full VIP experience with that throughout the course of Mile High Profit Summit main event. MileHighProfitSummit.com. We have literally a handful of spots left. Don't miss out. Let's get after this. I'm out.
So how much do you love and hate your life right now? Literally. I mean, think about it. I mean, the average person that comes to me, you know, for help, they're making about 50 grand a year and they're working 100 hours a week. It doesn't take long to do the math. You make it like a couple of bucks an hour. I mean, you're killing yourselves and you got nothing to show for it. At least these managers and some of these other established places, they're killing themselves, but they have something to show for it. They have peace of mind. They have a life. Somewhat of a life, you know, when they get home at night, whatever time they get home, they have that and they don't have to think about the store all the time. I mean, I'm sure a lot of them do because it's human nature to, quite honestly, blow up and overthink practically every situation we ever come across in our lives. But, you know, and here's a problem with the entrepreneur. And this is a sole reason why most contractors bust their ass and work really hard and work really long, but have nothing to show it for it, is because they're not running a business first. Literally, you need to think, I got to run a business first. And then whatever business I'm in, the industry I'm in, painter, electrician, carpenter, landscaper, pond builder, I don't care, home remodeler, all those crafts that you have, those are your technical skills, and they have nothing to do with your business skills. To acquire a technical skill is easy. Shit, you did it. And I don't mean it like that, but I did it too. You know, I've been in the blue collar industry, swimming pools, ponds, my whole life. So I learned all that stuff myself, but I knew when I went in the business, it's not about digging holes and putting a liner down and pushing big rocks into the hole. I have to learn how to run a business first and then a pond builder second, or a landscaper second, or a painter second. Everything, the things you do technically have to come second to running a business. We won't get into it here, but the business, you know, it's like a 3 or 4-legged stool. You know, you have marketing, then you have sales, then you have the operation, and then you have all that back office stuff. You know, QuickBooks, entering numbers, paying taxes, having enough money in a bank account to actually dole out in 5 or 10 different places. In other words, when someone gives you a dollar, is that whole dollar yours? Hell no. Some of that dollar goes to taxes. Then some of those dollars go to employees. Then some of the dollars go to employee taxes. Then some of those dollars go to employee bonuses. Then it goes for paying for your overhead, and so on and so on and so on. So that dollar that you actually bring into the door is divided up in a dozen different ways, at least, and doled out. And most of us don't even know it, or don't care enough to know it, or don't want to know it, or don't put the effort into knowing it. But those are all the things, you know, that you have to know to run a real business. I'll tell you quickly, there's a quick, simple answer to ask yourself this right now to find out, am I running a real business, or do I simply just have a hobby? Am I a starving artist? Am I just out there, just balls to the walls, but with no game plan business-wise at all? And here's the question. Have you ever gone to your bank, whether it's virtually or physically, and found that you had a different amount of money in that bank account than what you thought? And for most of us, unfortunately, it's a hell of a lot less money in the actual bank than we thought. Because even if you have an attempt, a feeble attempt, most likely, to keep track of the money in QuickBooks, QuickBooks might say you got 100 grand in your, you know, business checking account, and you look up your business checking account and you find out you got $38,000, and you're trying to go, where in the hell did the rest of that money go to? That, ladies and gentlemen, is how I know you're not running a real business. Because QuickBooks and your bank, within 24 hours, because, you know, banks take a day or two sometimes to rectify a deposit check, for instance, but pretty by and large, those two numbers are the same all the time. So you need to take a look, an honest look at yourself, and go, A, what's the purpose of becoming an entrepreneur? I mean, think about all the reasons. You know, we all have, there's hundreds of reasons that people start their own businesses. You know, I want to be my own boss. I want to make unlimited amount of money. I want to be paid for what I'm worth. You know, I don't want to take crap from anybody else, blah, blah, blah. Well, none of those things are necessarily true. At least they don't come true. But what you really want, we're all desiring the same thing. We desire a level of freedom, the freedom to do what we want, when we want, and how we want. but there's rules in life. For instance, here's a simple rule. If you make an appointment for someone, you have to show up on time. If you don't show up or show up late, you make a crappy first impression, and most likely you're not going to get that job. There's some rules. So if you're going to be in business for yourself, there's some common sense, universal business rules and laws that you have to follow. Most of us are undisciplined. We do not have the gumption to follow all these rules all the time. So look in the mirror. I ask you to do this. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I really a business person or am I just running a hobby? And I'll leave you with this final scenario that's a real life scenario. I go to different seminars, and I go for two reasons, and they could be all industries. I don't really care. This one, I was at a real estate convention industry, but I show up to hear the dynamic speakers because I want to hear what they're saying. So quite honestly, I could copy it. If it's motivational, I'm like, wow, that was a great delivery. But this one gentleman, he was telling the whole audience out there, and there was probably, this is in the Washington, D.C. area, and this is a room that could hold probably 500 people, and I bet there were 100 people, meaning there were 400 empty chairs, and I'm about to tell you why. He goes, look around. You know those 400 empty chairs? They're all the part-timers. They're the people that say, I'm going into real estate business. I'm going to give it a shot. And they, you know, as soon as you do that, that's kind of defeating. The attitude has to be with your own business. I'm in 110%. Because you know what? 100% doesn't cut it. You need to be 110% in. And those real estate agents, the successful ones, are all 110% in. They're not trying it as a hobby on the weekends or when it suits them. They get up and grind every single day. The other folks, the part-timers, do not get up and grind every single day. So that's the question I want you to ask yourself when you are sitting in front of a mirror and you're being totally honest. Make sure that nobody around you, because if someone's around you, you'll lie, because the truth really hurts when you tell it to yourself, but it hurts immensely more when other people hear it. And the question is, am I doing all I need to run a real business? And if you don't, you need to go find out how to run a business. I mean, quite honestly, they don't have business school. And you know, you say, well, they do have business school. I mean, I was a business major at University of Maryland. And you know what I learned at University of Maryland? Drink beer, smoke pot, baby. That's what I learned. I learned nothing about business. People tell me all the time, Steve, that's why you're so successful. You have a business degree. Horseshit. That business degree means nothing. I mean, how many classes have you ever taken in your whole entire life? And you've never even thought twice about them. You've never used them. You've never done anything. You go get an MBA. But is an MBA real world experience? Hell no. It's a bunch of fancy professors who most likely have never had a job in their entire freaking life. They've been in academia their whole life. So they're just teaching theory. Well, you know, theory doesn't cut it when you screw up at somebody's house and that wife is coming down your throat. You son of a bitch. You know, I told you the only thing I didn't want you to do is ruin my new carpets, and you came in here painting my house and you didn't put the plastic down. I mean, they don't talk about that at MBA school. Like, how do you get out of that situation? How do you rectify that situation? How do you make it right? There's so many instances that come up that only in-person, real-life experiences will help an entrepreneurial grow. So, and by the way, an entrepreneur is one of the toughest jobs on the planet. Because all it really is a nonstop work in progress. That's what you're doing. You're experimenting every single day. Hopefully you're learning every single day. You're going out of your way to get better every single day. I retired 6 months ago. I've read 22 listened to audiobooks since then. You cannot stop. If you stop, you die. Capiche? So ask yourself, honestly, should I be in business for myself or not? To be or not to be? This is Steve at the Battleground. I appreciate you showing up. Thank you very much.